Welcome to episode 136 of the British Birmingham Breakdown. And it's probably for the best that we don't have to remember that Week 18 game, because we're now on to bigger and better things. Whilst our opposition can go and do whatever NFL players do in the off-season. Never mind. Well, we've not got our break yet. There's still podcasting to be done. Or at least that's what I would be saying if last night hadn't happened. To break that down and whatever else we need to, I'm Tom, and I'm joined by Callum as we return to our regularly scheduled podcast recording time slot. Although why we bother, I don't know.
Hi, Tom. I'm back after a particularly stressful week. I've had a very busy week of thesis submission and starting a new job and all that sort of stuff. And then I had to go and cap it off by setting up till God knows what hour in the morning and watching a dreadful Cardinals game. But, you know, I've often wanted to say and can truly say it this time, did you see that ludicrous display last night?
No, it was just shocking from start to finish. But it was like, even though we didn't do an episode last week, you know, it was just another shocking performance the week before. So, you know, just like, what's going on? We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really a far cry from the team that we saw for the first 7 to 10 weeks of the NFL season.
Yeah, I mean, we will obviously break all this down when we get around to our season, like, recap episode, which will be coming soon. But before that, absolutely. You know, we've got this one to do and get through, however long it'll take, as much as we don't want to.
Yeah. It's always difficult to sit down and record one of these podcasts after a loss. And, you know, even more so after a bad loss. But, you know, this one in particular, first playoff game in 6 years?
Yeah. I mean,
first playoff.
With that performance, you know, it'll be 6 years before our next one.
Absolutely. You know, as Tom said, we'll have plenty more to say about, you know, the season in its entirety, I guess, in our season review podcast, which, you know, watch this space. We've got season reviews to do and awards to give out and all sorts of stuff like that. But in the meantime, we're onto our kind of regularly scheduled programming. So we might as well start off with some news.
And we do actually have some news to kick off with this week, although it is a bit dated now, considering the episode that we skipped last week that no one knew about.
It's a bit dated, but I don't think the egg news ever goes out of date.
No, that's true. Exactly when we're talking about Kyler Murray's new sponsorship.
It was quite odd. I think I sent this directly to you the first time I saw it. It was just an odd one where I saw a picture of Kyler Murray toting the new vegan egg substitute, Just Egg, with the genuine catchphrase underneath it, the official egg of Kyler Murray, which just tickled me.
I know exactly how many other quarterbacks can say they have an official egg, although it's not actually an egg.
Precisely, and all the better for it as well.
We probably could go into like some sort of vegan propaganda episode, but I suppose that might turn a few people off.
Maybe we can do our own vegan propaganda podcast elsewhere, Tom.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I do wish that they would bring that Just Egg out into the UK because it does look nice.
Yeah, I could definitely do with some. I'll keep an eye out for it because, you know, quite often they put these things out, you know, randomly in supermarkets in London and stuff to like test the market out. So I'll let you know if I find any.
Yeah, I mean, we could get our connections at the Cardinals, get Kyler Murray, send us a movie, you know, fans of the pub.
We do have like Jim Omohundro's email somewhere, so we could send him that. I'm sure they've got crates of it at the training facility now.
I mean, they shouldn't be feeding them like egg.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that is indeed Kyler Murray's new sponsorship, which definitely tickled me. It was at least possibly some of the only really good Cardinals news in the past couple of weeks. I mean, that and our next piece, which is about JJ Watt.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's dated because here it says this window had opened, but by the time this episode was recorded and obviously the day before, his window was fully open and he was active and on the roster.
Yeah, it was so open that he was on the field, which is, I mean, I think great news. You know, we were just discussing before the pod that JJ Watt is still under contract with the Cardinals. And, you know, provided that there isn't some sort of out clause or something like that, the fact that he's back, you know, for this playoff game and healthy means that we will see him at the start of next year too.
I mean, there's some sort of miraculous recovery though, isn't it? You know, after what he did to his shoulder, to be back after like 3 months, I think it was, wasn't it, in total?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think a lot of NFL players, especially, you know, if you were like a more minor defensive piece or you know, you were further down the depth chart or something like that, you'd be cooked for the season. You know, you would be out. And I think the accelerated timeline that they had him on both pays testament to JJ Watt's resilience and you know, the work ethic he's put into getting healthy again, but also to how important the Cardinals organization as a whole saw him in the first, you know, however many weeks it was that he was playing with us.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously we were 7-0 before he got his injury, and then obviously the season fell apart to where we are now, where it's like completely dismantled and everyone wants to burn it to the ground again.
Yeah. I had a friend today joking about Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Do you remember that movie?
The Jim Carrey one.
The Jim Carrey one, where you can basically pay to have like certain memories like surgically excised from your brain. And I was thinking, you know, like approximately what date was week 7? Because I could go far about that with the season. I could just do with forgetting everything after JJ Watt got injured, basically.
I mean, I've never actually seen that movie. I mean, the last Jim Carrey movie I think I saw was Yes Man.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Which is a good film, I reckon.
Would you like... maybe we should talk about Jim Carrey movies instead of the two games that we've got lined up.
I mean, it would be preferable, wouldn't it, you know?
Yeah. But
sadly, it's not what people are here for. If people are indeed. Here.
And, well, we missed last week, obviously. So we were unable to, at the time, recap the Seahawks-Cardinals game. But I figured we can kind of blitz it a little bit. You know, we'll try and go through and do the game almost as its own little news segment. What do you say?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously people don't want to know about the Seattle Seahawks beating us 38-30, do they? Nor do they want to know the fact that it wasn't scorigami, as it had happened 6 times previously in NFL history.
Yep. Definitely an unfortunate scoreline. I mean, definitely a few positives coming out of that game, and I guess they probably felt more like positives this time last week than they do now. But, you know, I think the offense putting up 30 points, that is a pretty good, you know, thing to be back to at that point.
Yeah, it's just a shame they couldn't manage it last night, but...
yeah, exactly. And... yeah, I think with the Cardinals going up so early in the game, was it like 12 seconds or something?
Yeah, it was 12 seconds in when Zach Allen picked up a forced fumble from Chandler Jones and returned it for 6, which obviously gave us a 7-0 lead and was enough to win him the British Birdland Breakdown Player of the Game award. Obviously, we have to get that in there for some admin work.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Zach Allen, I would say, is fast becoming one of my favorite Cardinals players.
Yeah, I mean, he's just one of those guys that just, he's there, isn't he? Like, you don't always notice him, but when you do, he's making a pretty big play.
Yeah, absolutely. And on top of that, you know, from the you know, I saw him in some, like, pressers and stuff, kind of joking about that and having a good time. And just, again, seems like a nice dude. So, you know, I'm glad to see him win a Player of the Game award.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was someone other than Kyler Murray winning it, wasn't it? Which, you know, kind of makes it a bit weird when it goes to the final one of the season.
Yeah, definitely. and another positive, I guess, from that game is that James Conner was back.
Yeah, but obviously Chase Edmonds missed out, so it was like, someday we would get them all reunited in the backfield, you know, those two plus Kyler Murray, which, I mean, we did last night, but we still know what happened there.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think, much to talk about there, I think, in the season review podcast. That's a fertile ground for discussion, the backfield as a whole. But yeah, James Conner, you know, at the time, we were feeling positive because he'd had a pretty good game, and he finally had a record that he's been threatening to go far all season.
Yeah, I mean, he continued his fine form and surpassed the token mention incoming season total of John David Crow in the all-time records.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess with everything there,
I suppose there was, really... before we move on, there was the one negative where he did get injured really late in the game with his, I think he had a rib injury, which he carried on into this week's game.
I mean, I guess in general, that game also had the negative of losing to the bloody Seahawks and their, you know, gum-chewing Pete Carroll manager after the Seahawks, again, having a horrible season. And yet they came in and beat us.
Yeah, in a game that really meant nothing to them, did it? The only thing it did was maybe push the New York Jets' first-round pick down a couple of spots. Instead of like being top 5 or 7, I think it's our 10th.
It's really, really didn't mean much to them. And on top of that, it didn't mean anything to us either. I will say that. I don't think that there was any permutation of coming out of the Seattle game that would have given us a change to our opponent, I believe.
Well, no, actually, had we beaten them with San Francisco beating LA, we would have won the division.
So it could have been a hat and a t-shirt day, as Bruce Arians would have said.
Yeah, it could have been, but it just wasn't because we decided to blow it. But then again, San Francisco were 17-0 down and then got like ridiculous amounts of luck to end up winning that game.
Yeah, that was an odd situation. I mean, the whole feel of that game and those two games going on simultaneously was a strange one.
Yeah, and of course we blew the chance to, you know, win the division again and, you know, maybe I wouldn't say we would have had an easier game in the playoffs because it would have been at home and we know how much we've struggled at home.
Season. Absolutely. It wouldn't have been an easier game, but, you know, like it would have meant coming out of the season with something, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we would have had a trophy, wouldn't we? And like another banner to hang up in the stadium, which is pretty bare of banners, sadly.
I think it would have been a nice something to point to, you know, beyond just the fact that we had a winning record for the first time in ages.
And I mean, there was also the fact that like a few weeks ago, we were like 95% chance of actually winning the division. And then we end up finishing second.
Yep, a very odd turn of events. Again, I think that is us straying into the territory which we should hold on for our season recap, because we do still actually have a game to break down today, as much as we don't want to. But the Cardinals did indeed make it to the NFL playoffs for the first time in 6 years, where they faced up in Los Angeles against the Rams.
Yeah, and the bastard schedulers at the NFL decided to make it a Monday night football game, meaning it kicked off at 1:15 a.m. on a Tuesday morning for us Brits.
Yeah, I mean, it's even worse than a Sunday night football game, right? Because you don't even get any lead up to it when it's on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, I mean, you have to wait the whole day, don't you? Like between, not like you would have stayed up for Sunday night football anyway, because who does that if you're not got other things to do, like work, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, it's staying up for Sunday night football, I think you can at least get yourself nicely hyped up for it. You know, if there's good games leading into it, there's almost always something worth watching at that point. And then the Sunday night football game comes on and you've got, you know, you're led in, you're ready to go. Whereas in the UK, at least, you know, with Monday night football, it's like, all right, I'm now up till 2 a.m. and absolutely nothing is on. You know, like there's no hype, there's no nothing. I'm sitting in an empty and quiet house and now all of a sudden football's happening.
And of course, with the result that happened, we'd rather it didn't have happened anyway, but here we are. The Cardinals are out of the playoffs at the first hurdle.
Yep, indeed. The Rams scored 30-plus points while the Cardinals managed to only put 11 on the board. All of which came in the second half, all of which came really after the game was long over. I don't think at any point we had a score where I was thinking, like, this is it, this is the turnaround, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard, you know, like when they go 7-0 up, then you're like, Cardinals go 3-and-out again. Cardinals go 3-and-out. I think they went 3-and-out 4 times in a row and they had like -4 yards of offense in the first quarter. So that just kind of sums up how the game was.
I mean, the odd thing is like, I quite often get this feeling watching the Cardinals, and maybe this is a bit airy-fairy, but to me, I see these plays and I'm like, if you make that play just that little bit different, that's your momentum starter. You know, like, let's say in the first drive, if you're able to make that completion to AJ Green down the sidelines for like 20 yards, then all of a sudden the offense kind of gets firing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be one of the big issues people have with Cliff Kingsbury's offense, you know, like first and second down, you know, maybe they get like a couple of yards here and there. And then when it's like third and like six or seven, you try like a deep bomb down the field, don't you? And it's like, why not just try to keep the chains moving for a little bit, you know, like get some momentum going, not just go for the kill shot straight away. I mean, like sometimes it works, it's like we've seen it happen, but most of the time it just like falls incomplete and it's like, oh, the Cardinals are punting after 1 minute on the field, if that. Yeah.
And I think that's part of the thing that makes it such a drive killer as well when you do that, right? Is like, you know, even if you don't manage to move the chains, and if you've made these kind of short yardage plays and stuff like that, at least it kind of keeps the clock ticking for longer, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because like, just the way the game started, it was like LA, they ran the ball well, they controlled the clock. Then anytime the Cardinals came on the field, it was like, quick three and out, Andy Lee punts the ball. Quick three and out, Andy Lee punts the ball. And then it's like, you know.
Well, the thing is like, we've seen the up-tempo offense work wonders this year, right? We've seen it do really, really well. But I think it's about, you know, time and place for selection for these things, right? And I get the feeling that sometimes Cliff Kingsbury's trying this up-tempo offense a few more times than he needs to in a row.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say as well, because like, you look at the starting lineups for the team in this one, and like on the offensive side of the ball, you're missing DeAndre Hopkins probably from week one, and you've got Zach Ertz in there who wasn't in there in week one. But that was basically like the offense we started the season with, minus and plus him. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I think it was the same, just with no Robert Alford in the backfield. So it's like, it's not like this was a weak Cardinals team. They were just outclassed all over the field and there was nothing you could do about it.
I mean, I think, don't get me wrong. I think a big part of this is the fact that the Rams have really come into their own. You know, like this may be largely the same Rams team and Cardinals teams that met personnel-wise in like, what was it, week three or something like that when we played them in LA last time?
It was week four. We did have DeAndre Hopkins back then, so that was a big loss.
It is a big loss, but, you know, like they may be, you know, largely the same personnel-wise, but they definitely aren't the same teams, class-wise, as it were, that met, you know, that at that time. And, as you said, the Cardinals were just, you know, outgunned on every single, you know, part of the field.
Well, I think come the end of the game, I think they not even managed 200 total yards of offense. It was just that sort of game.
Well, I mean, looking at Kyler Murray's passer rating through much of that, you know, I think he was at one point with single digit passer rating. And actually the first throw of the second half went for, I think, just negative yards. But because it was a completion, it about quadrupled his passer rating from the first half.
Yeah, and there was one point as well where Odell Beckham Jr. had more passing yards than Kyler Murray.
Yeah, that's pretty grim. I mean, the real question is like, well, what happened there, you know?
Yeah, it's just like, LA were like totally up for the game. And I'm not saying the Cardinals weren't up for the game. It was just like, nothing seemed to work for them. Like, obviously, you can't really start a game with four three and outs getting like minus 4 yards of offense.
No, so you really
can't. That's no way to start the game at all.
And then also giving up a pick six as well, like a stupid pick six.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Kyler Murray could take the safety there, but, you know, he's trying to get rid of the ball and then it's like, DB comes out of nowhere. He has like the easiest pick six you'll probably ever see.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I don't think I can do any better in that situation. But I do wonder if the strategy for that should actually just be, right? Okay. I mean, this is obviously like you can't be thinking this much in the moment. But the strategy for me would be go for a pass that is basically intentional grounding that's gonna get the ball to be dead, and you might get away with it. You might get away without it being called as intentional grounding. Or you can throw up a duck and it'll, you know, very likely be caught by somebody for six.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, that play as well, it came just a couple after we had, like, that big play from AJ Green that was ruled an incompletion, where, you know, he didn't actually make a football move after making a catch.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was these are the things I'm talking about. You know, like, there's plays that I can see in my mind's eye how if they just turn out a little bit differently, then all of a sudden the offense has some momentum, you know? They're not consistently pinned within their own 5-yard line.
Yeah, I think throughout the whole game, they were like, the Cardinals had really, really bad starting field position. I think it was like, on average, they were probably at least inside their 20 every single drive.
Which is so difficult, you know, because it like really limits your offensive playbook, right? Because your offensive playbook at that point, if you're within your own 10-yard line, your first priority is to get out of safety range. And then you can start to bring in more, you know, different plays to do different things. Whereas if you are, for example, you know, starting on your 30, then or you're even your 25, then you've just got so much more room to work with. You know, you've got room for dropbacks, you've got room for error if there is a flag on the play, something like that, you know.
And of course, it's Cardinals. There were many flags on the plays.
Yeah, there were. I mean, it's really, really strange to see given how tight everything was at the start of the season. But like the way that it's all kind of fallen apart, I don't know what's going on.
I mean, if you go on the internet, the only answer seems to be Cliff Kingsbury. He seems to be the problem. But I'm not buying into that. I don't think he's the problem.
No, I mean, I've seen the infographic that's been doing the rounds the past few weeks of people lining up Cliff Kingsbury's first half of the season and second half of the season statistics, which is just a dumb take because so much of that data comes from college. And anyone who's watched any college football knows that the tough games are in the second half of the season.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like the first half of the season, just like, you know, they play random FCS teams that have like 20 people playing or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, when it looks at the NFL seasons, like it's number one, it's a small data set. And number two, you can see improvement in the overall record the entire time. And number three, it doesn't take into account, you know, stupid injuries and stuff like that we've had for the past few seasons, and even the fact that like the past few seasons have been building seasons when you know maybe don't want to put all of your risk in the basket towards the end of a season where you know you're not going to get anything anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not sure what they're trying to prove over that graphic as well, because like in his first season, his last seven games he won two, in his second season he won three, and in this season he won four. So that, to me, that looks like progress.
Yeah, exactly. And not just that, but also like I'm not sure what the implication is. Like, is the implication supposed to be Cliff Kingsbury is a great coach for half of the season and a terrible coach for another half of the season? Like, that's just an odd one.
It's just like an anti-Cliff bias people seem to have, don't you? Just because of like he wasn't a successful college coach, you know. Why has he got this opportunity when like so many also ran head coaches sit at home doing nothing, or like they're on the TV, you know, talking football? It's like, why aren't these the ones getting the head coaches role when Cliff Kingsbury just, you know, just because, I don't know, he's a friend of Sean McVay. That's the old favorite.
To them, I always ask, like, well, who else would you have? Who would you replace him with, you know?
I mean, people have got like a massive list, you know, like, you could like roll out a ream of like thousands of pages and be like, yeah, I'll take him over Cliff Kingsbury. I'll take him. But it's like, you're not the one making the decision, are you? And you can say on it top of that, on Twitter, it's like,
well, the other thing then is like, well, okay, like, well, what are you going to be satisfied with then, right? Like, do you want a new head coach to come in with a new quarterback and immediately win the Super Bowl? You know, they're making the playoffs after three seasons, and let's not forget that a few seasons ago we were in a situation where we were winning, you know, three games in the entire season,
and we picked number one overall. So it's like, you know,
exactly
what did they expect? Exactly. You know,
going from the worst team in the NFL to a team who can, you know, actually make the playoffs. It's in 3 years, no less. You know, the Jets have been sitting there in the low end of the NFL for 12 years or something like that.
Well, since Mark Sanchez, I think he made the playoffs, but, you know, that's some sort of yes, freaky
shit. That'd be like 8 years or something like that. But, you know, it's like, again, it's an odd one. It's an odd one. Still, I don't think it excuses the single game performance from the Rams game, where really the only positive that we can talk about, and it's, you know, a positive in air quotes, is our winner of the player of the game poll.
Yeah, the final British Bird Gang Player of the Game award went to Andy Lee because, you know, we decided to go back in time a few years, haven't we?
Yeah, it's very, very retro of us, isn't it?
I think we did somehow get 300 votes on that one, even though it was a loss, so I'm kind of surprised by that.
I guess it was a playoff game, you know.
And he did get, like, I think it was 66% of the total votes, so it's like no one else really came close. I think Chandler Jones got 2%.
It's grim. It's grim. Is there anything more we have to say on that loss before we kind of move on with more end of season stuff?
Well, I mean, we did see the injury to Buda Baker.
I mean, I guess in a way, I'm glad it was the end of the season. It looks like he's generally going to be fine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, there's been plenty of messages, you know, saying he's fine now. And obviously, he's on his way back to Arizona. I saw on Twitter just before we started recording. I believe he's in Michael Bidwell's private jet, so, you know, it's all right for some.
That's good news for him. I think it was a bit of a nasty one, especially if you've got somebody jumping up and, you know, screaming expletives at you.
Yeah, you know, completely classless from Cam Akers, but what do you expect from something in LA? When have they ever known any class?
True.
But, I mean, it wasn't as bad as the Jonathan Ward injury we had earlier in the season, though, was it?
No, that was horrific. Yeah.
Thankfully, both of the players seem to be all right, and, you know, that's all we can hope for.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, obviously, best of luck to Buda and everyone. Again, you know, end of the season, so plenty of time to recover now. I mean, overall, like, we can discuss sort of, I guess, individual player performances across the season, like later in the season review podcast, as it were. But he's definitely going to be one of the guys who's up there as having had a standout season.
Yeah, absolutely. Just have to hope in future he learns not how to tackle like Jason Street did on Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, you know, there's not really much else we can say about the game, is there? You know, like, we're out of the playoffs. What else is there really to say?
I mean, it's just, yeah. I'm still processing exactly how crap a game it was, you know. Of a Cardinals team which showed such promise, there was just no signs of life.
I do have one question, though.
Go on, then.
Are you cliff in or cliff out?
Am I cliff in or cliff out? I'm cliff in.
Yeah, I thought you would be. I mean, like, it makes no sense, does it? Like, why would you blow it all up after three seasons?
No, I think he's shown like, I'm not saying that it has to get bad before he gets sacked, but, like, he's continuing to show growth and progress. So how about we just, like, let him, you know, take some time, let him work with it. If he continues to show progress, you know, if he improves on the record of this year, and gets us in the playoffs again, then that's huge.
I mean, it will be a lot tougher next year looking at who we have on the 2022 schedule.
Yeah, I think we had about a bottom quarter, like just into the bottom quarter on strength of schedules this year. And next year, I think we're more in the like top half by strength of schedule.
Yeah, I mean, we probably could save this for like a future episode, but I'm going to go back onto Vingy now and find who we've got.
Well, it's I think if you're talking about it now, though, just while you look that up, I'll just make the point that strength of schedule didn't really mean jack to us this year because we lost to the Lions, but we were able to beat, you know, the Rams in the regular season and stuff like that. It's like, you know, as far as strength of schedule goes, our wins had a really high strength of schedule and our losses had a really low strength of schedule.
Let's not forget we also beat the number one seed in the AFC as well.
Yeah, it's true. We did.
Yeah, so the next season, our schedule, we've got the NFC West as always, which is a tough one.
Yep.
But then we've got the New Orleans Saints, Tampa Bay, Carolina Panthers, because, you know, that's inevitable.
It's and just also, every year, man.
And the Atlanta Falcons as well. And across conferences, they will play the AFC West, which means the LA Chargers, Kansas City Chiefs, Denver Broncos, and the Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay.
The 17th game is against New England.
Whoa. Oh, some spicy opponents for next year then.
Obviously people may get their wish. You know, if it's a bad season for the Cardinals, they may get to clear house.
They might do. And, you know, then we'll get a new coach in. And I'm sure that we would immediately be winning the 2024 Super Bowl.
Yeah, of course we will. You know, that's what's going to happen.
Because Cliff's been the only thing that's stopping us, right?
It's like the thing, isn't it? Like, as soon as Twitter gets the man who they want to be the head coach, the Cardinals are going to go undefeated forever and ever.
Exactly.
Although I think Twitter would probably be divided over who they want as the head coach. But, you know, that's for another time. But, we don't need to discuss that because it's not happening.
Absolutely. And indeed, we will try and refrain from talking too much about next season because we do have a whole podcast about that coming up. My final words about the LA game, the last game of the season, Tom?
Can we just forget about it? You know, like we do that one that never happened in Twickenham.
We've got a few games that never happened against this particular franchise now, so we'll put it in that bin with that lot.
We just have to do that thing that you want about from the film, the Jim Carrey film. Just have to for all the Arizona Cardinals matches we don't want to remember ever.
Yeah, we want to eternal sunshine ourselves. Moving on news, we do have to admin ourselves up with the final of the Bird Gang Bowl, which is now completely over. And that was in week 17 proper, right?
Or it was, yes. Well, the final week of the NFL season, we had the 8 winners from each league putting their teams together, and, you know, quite a few players just didn't show up for it. Like, we had like Tyreek Hill scoring 1 point. Let me see who else.
It was a really odd week for fantasy, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's always the case with the Bird Gang Bowl. It was like leaving it till the last week of the season. Like, usually it's sitting, isn't it? Because it's like the last game before the playoffs.
And a couple extra injuries and stuff like that to boot.
And then also people benefit from like Tyler Lockett going off against us.
Which is wild, yeah.
But yeah, the final winner of the British Bird Gang Bowl 9 was Kyler Bisso-Murray 21. Who managed 163 points in the final week.
Well, yeah, congratulations. I believe that there's silverware of some kind.
There is, yes.
Heading. There we go.
Eventually, it'll be heading there.
The inaugural Bird Gang Bowl or some sort of similar trophy.
Yeah, that reminds me, I do have to get back to someone who I made an inquiry about, but I haven't done that because the Cardinals depress me.
Well, you know, I think... Now is a time for reflection, you know. Now is the time when I ponder the question that ever happens where my girlfriend's dad, when I kind of first met him, he's an American guy, and he did tell me, you know, that in America it's perfectly acceptable to change teams, right? To like go and support somebody else. And, you know, I think about that sometimes, especially after games like this.
But I mean, if you did that, there'd be no British Bird Gang Breakdown. anymore.
Well, yeah, don't worry. I'm not planning on doing it. It's just, you know, it's nice to think about, you know, have a little mind holiday to supporting a team that doesn't bring up and dash your hopes so expertly.
I mean, I'm used to that with football anyway, so why not in American football as well?
Fair enough. Well, I guess, you know, we've done the Bird Gang Bowl. We've been through the disappointment of the game. We have plugged it many times, but our season review podcast is coming up soon. And as part of that, we're going to be doing our traditional Bird Gang Awards. And that is also, you know, listener voted.
Yes, because obviously that means it's time for the British Bird Gang Awards 2021, which I think is, I'm not sure how many years we've done it for, but, you know, every single year it seems to get bigger and bigger. So we'll have to try and make this the biggest ever.
We had quite a lot of votes last year, from what I remember.
Yeah, I mean, last year it was 283 total responses, and obviously...
That's pretty good.
And with Twitter being, like, now over 5,000 followers, and, you know, Facebook still growing slowly, it's like, you know, we got plenty of opportunity to smash that this year. And hopefully we will.
I think there's some good potential for different... I mean, we've got lots and lots of different categories. We've got, like, players of the season. We've got best moment of the season. We've got GOAT of the season as a traditional favourite, which is, if I can remind everyone, not the greatest of all time of the season, but in fact the, like, most disappointing of the season.
And I mean, there'll be quite a lot of people hoping they can vote for someone like Cliff Kingsbury in that one. Maybe I'll take yeah, him out sure. of the voting just to make it a bit fairer.
Yeah. No, lots of different interesting cat. Did you put a list together anywhere, Tom?
I mean, I just opened up the British Bird Gang Awards 2020 sheet, and so we've got, like you say, go to the season, disappointment of the year, no prizes for guessing what that will be this year. But I mean, it could be tied between a couple of things, because, you know, there's been a few disappointments this year.
Yeah, it depends on exactly how you phrase it, right? I mean, like, getting knocked out of the playoffs, disappointing, but, you know, losing to the Panthers was also a big disappointment.
Losing to Detroit as well, that's heartbreaking.
Oh, yes, it was.
There's also Game of the Year. I mean, we've got a lot of wins to choose from this year, so maybe that'll be a bit...
Yeah, I mean, it may be hard to be thinking about that right now, but there are definitely some big highlights of the year that are worthy of that award, I would say. Big games.
Yeah, we got Play of the Year. I think no prizes for guessing what may win that one.
Yeah, I've got a strong suspicion in mind of which ones will be popular there.
We've got Single Game Performance of the Year. That could possibly be some guy's 5-sack performance in week one, and then he's faded to obscurity the rest of the season. Less said about that, the better. I mean, last year we had How Would You Rate the 2020 Cardinals Season? I suppose we'll bring that back and people will be like stupid and vote it one, even though it's not a one season. That would be like,
yeah,
when we had 3 wins, that would be a one. It's definitely more like 7-8, probably. Who knows?
I would say, like, if you're not voting above 5, you're not, you've got too much recency bias.
Yeah, that's the issue, though, isn't it? It's like, you know, when do we actually launch them? Because it's like, if we launch them right away, people are going to be like overly negative, aren't they? But leave it a few days to stew.
That's why I'm wondering if we should maybe release it, you know, this time next week or something like that. And then we can do the recap podcast the week after or something. But we'll see. We can talk about it.
It'll be out at some point. Yeah.
Yeah.
We also have the Breakout Player of the Year. And I think there will be a couple of good candidates in that one.
Yeah, big time. And remember as well, Breakout obviously doesn't necessarily just mean it has to be a rookie who's had a hell of a year. It can be anybody who's, you know, upped their game, as it were.
Yeah, I mean, we also have Veteran Player of the Year.
Which obviously
I'm not
can't
sure what
be
the
a rookie.
Category will be this year.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few big options that could be considered, Veteran of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on, like, where I decide the cutoff is, you know, like, for how many years' experience in the league they've had.
I almost think, like, the status of veteran isn't even really about an exact number of weeks or years, rather, played. It's more about, like, a, I don't know, an attitude. It's like, yeah, this guy's a vet. He's been around the block a few times, especially like, you know, the difference between, oh God, I'm struggling to think of an example, but like, you know, a guy who sat out for the first year and then was injured for most of the second year and he's about in the third year versus somebody who was out on the field every single game for both those years. You know, one's a veteran and one's not, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, veteran with us usually is like 8+ years, possibly. I'm not sure like what the roster makeup is like. Have we got like loads of people with double digit experience years? I've not looked yet.
It's not as bad as it was like 4 years ago or something, but it is still pretty bad.
And of course, opposite to veteran of the year, we have the rookie of the year. And I don't think it'll be our first round pick who wins that one.
No, I don't think so either. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what people think. I always like looking at the list of rookies at the end of the season and going like, yep, I know who that is. I know what they did. I know what they contributed. And who the hell was that again?
We wasted a pick on him?
Yeah.
Who is that guy?
Who was that, and why did I talk about why I was very excited for him for 10 minutes in a podcast in May?
I mean, I'm not putting down Tate Gowan because I think Twitter would vote for him just because the reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got special teams player of the year, defensive player of the year, offensive player of the year, and also the big award, which is British Beer Gang MVP, which obviously should be Kyle Amore, but I'm biased.
I actually think MVP might be in a bit of an open vote this year. Again, depending on how sour people are when they come, you know, come to do their voting. But I can see a few like outside candidates who might be getting a few votes. Yeah. And then, of course, we'll have to compare and contrast that with our voting on a per game basis of who got the most British Bird Gang Player of the Game awards. Throughout the season,
I think that was a tie in the end. I think it was 3-3, and of course,
oh well, don't spoil it. We've got mileage out of that next week.
I think we've also got the whole results. You know, Tom versus Calum versus the world. They can also be part of the recap.
We will in fact have the result of predictions as well, which is I think it should be a good one. And again, hopefully, well, number one, I can assure you that we will be less tired next week than we are this week, because I for one won't be staying up for any Monday night football next week.
I don't think there is any next week either, you know.
I think it's all there's few enough games they can actually fit them all in at a reasonable time.
I mean, there could be other award categories as well. I've just not decided yet.
Yeah, there might be so a couple extra thrown in here and there,
just because, you know, I can do that. And, you know, I do like to promise it being the biggest ever. Why not make extra categories for random stuff?
Yeah, I'll see if I can come up with any fun ones as well.
I mean, I've got an obvious one, which is off-season edition of the year, which is like obviously free agent / trade
people. Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one.
I'm surprised it's never been there before. I think it has, just we didn't put it in last year for some reason.
Yeah. Well,
but yeah, you know, like you were saying with the not being any Monday night football, had we won that game against LA, we would have been playing at 8 p.m. on Sunday. But sadly, that's not to be.
What a magical time slot that could have been.
I know. But now we can like forget about the NFL, unless, you know, you want to follow it to the Super Bowl. I'm not sure. I might be bitter and like not watch any more football this year.
I think for me, it kind of depends on who's going to be going into the Super Bowl. You know, there was a few years that I was just like, oh God, this again. You know, and if it's like Tampa Bay versus the Rams, I'll just be like, nah, don't want to watch it.
I have narrowed it down to three teams that I would like to see win the Super Bowl now, though, and that's the Bengals, the Bills, and the Chiefs in that order.
Yeah, I can get on board with that.
You know, sod the NFC and sod Tennessee.
Yeah, exactly. No, it sounds, well, I guess that sounds an awful lot like we're coming to an end of our final Cardinals review podcast of the season.
Yeah, well, I mean, the usual like regular season episode. Well, it's not regular season as it's playoffs, even though the playoffs are now gone, just like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, that was it. What was that? That was your life.
But yeah, of course, we'll be back with the British Bird Gang Awards and our season recap slash review slash whatever the hell we want to talk about for however long we want to talk about.
Yeah, that'll be a good, nice time for us. And definitely, as I said, less depressing than this week.
And of course, this might be our shortest episode in a while because it's nearly 48 minutes in and we're nearly almost done, besides the plugs.
We've got no game to preview. We've got no, we're not predicting the outcome of all of the different games. So, I guess it is already time for plugs.
Well, I mean, we could talk about the game pick, the pick'ems, but my against the spread last week was awful. I think it was 1-5. So it's like, let's not highlight that.
Yeah.
Dreadful. Just glad it wasn't real money I put on it.
Just a nice pretend one. But anyway, yeah, I guess that's it for us this week.
Yeah, so if you're not following us on Twitter, go forward at British Bird Gang. If you're on Facebook, like us at facebook.com/groups/British Bird Gang. And of course, like us at facebook.com/British Bird Gang. Got them the wrong way around, no one cares. Buy British Bird Gang merch at britishbirdgang.tmall.com. And of course, if you like what you listen to on the podcast, then of course, leave us a review. Wherever it is you get your podcast and share it around, you know, retweet the tweets when I post them out saying it's live, you know, help support this podcast, that sort of thing. It takes a lot of effort to do this every week, as you can tell by our voices.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, I mean, I missed last week and it was, I was very busy. I didn't have time to feel sad about it at the time. But then once I finished my thesis, I was sad to have missed it last week, but any reviews that we do get are appreciated. And as Tom said, you know, sharing it about, telling Cardinals fans that you know that what we're doing here. And
And of course, obviously, with there not being an episode last week, it saved you from listening to a one man show with just me, which might have been dreadful. It could have been amazing. Who knows?
We were trying to draft in people, but indeed, Tom did decide in the end to not give you a single man performance.
Probably for the best, but you know, maybe someday. Who knows? Until then, though, thanks for listening to this week's episode, and we'll see you again next time. Until then, goodbye.
We'll see you next time. All right, cheerio, Cardinals fans.